Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and there's Jerry, and we're all looking vibrant and healthy and just so alive and sexy. And that makes us Stuff You Should Know.
Jerry's coat is shiny.
It is. She's got that high pro glow.
High pro glow.
Do you remember that?
I do. And, you know, we give our dogs the this salmon juice that comes in a squirt bottle.
Whoa.
It's like, you know, like salmon skin oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes their coat shiny. And it smells like salmon skin, which I love.
That's cool. Yumi straight up cooks salmon with the skin on for Momo. Like, that's what she has is cooked food for dinners.
Yeah. I mean, I love salmon skin. It's the best thing ever.
It's so good. I just love like raw salmon, Chuck.
I like that too. I like it smoked too.
Mm. Sure, sure. What else? Injectable salmon?
Stick it in my neck.
There you go. You end up with kind of like a Requiem for a Dream thing going on.
That's right. But, you know, this all dovetails into antioxidants, I think.
It does, because I think if you eat a lot of raw salmon, especially good stuff, you know, nothing grown in a toxic sewage dump, you're going to live a really, really long time. And we've known it for a very long time that if you eat healthy food, you're probably going to age a lot better. Or a lot more, you're going to stay a lot healthier as you age than, say, you would if you just ate junk food the whole time. It seems like a no-brainer. But along the way, a lot of people have stopped to ask exactly why that might be.
Right.
And we should say, shout out to our book, which has an entire chapter, chapter 8, on aging. It's called Aging, Do We Gotta? And it's a pretty good one, if I do say so.
Yeah, I think the first line of that chapter says, avoid sewer salmon.
That's precisely right. I mean, that's just some of the best advice anyone could ever give anybody
else.
That's
a t-shirt.
So a lot of people, like I was saying, have stopped and asked, like, why would food help you? And obviously we need food for fuel, but it turns out that, especially in the 90s, a lot of food kind of hit the scene. Well, the food was already there, but they were promoted a different way, thanks to some recent findings that decided that food that are high in antioxidants would help you age a lot better, possibly prolong your life, and prevent certain kinds of age-related diseases, everything from cancer to neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, just from eating the food you ate. And it all seemed to have something to do with those antioxidants, and that concept took off like a rocket. And it's still around today, actually.
Yeah, and this is when listeners are saying, oh, God, are Josh and Chuck going to tell us now that science says antioxidants aren't good, too?
Right.
And let's just hang on to that. You'll find out by the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's the—
We want people to stick around.
That's the big reveal. Let's give them some MacGuffins, Chuck.
The point of the whole intro here, though, is that it was a big marketing blitz. Everything from blueberries to kale. I mean, good Lord. We had kale rammed down our throat, like figuratively and literally, mm-hmm. for the past decade plus. Vitamins, multivitamins, vitamin E, vitamin C, beta carotene, just all of these superfoods, green tea, of course, which we talked about.
Yeah.
And we're not saying these things aren't good for you.
No.
These are all great, great things to eat. But they were being touted as being high in antioxidants, and it will help you age, and it will help you combat something that everyone just heard the words free radicals, and consumers said, well, I don't like the sound of those.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So let's kill them, even though we don't understand them.
Right. Someone literally shoved kale down your throat once?
Yeah, if you've never gone to that restaurant?
No.
Kale shove?
Kale me crazy? That explains a lot.
Yeah, it's I mean, kale's fine, but kale chips, don't eat more than like 10 of them or you'll get sick to your stomach.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So you hit upon this whole point. It's not so much that antioxidants are good for you, it's that free radicals are bad for you. That was the premise of this whole thing in the 90s. And this idea of free radicals is rooted in some really deep science and had a lot of scientific backing for a really long time. And I guess just to kind of to get a little bit of this out there, like science way overshot itself. There was a really good, sensible hypothesis, and the scientific community ran with it. And then they started doing studies. And it wasn't entirely just the scientific community. It was largely those same marketers who were making money off these superfoods, you know, that they could slap a label on there now. It just got overhyped before the data was fully in. And for my money, though, like once the data started coming in, it got even more interesting. But let's just go back to the beginning of all this, because like I was saying, free radicals form the basis for this whole thing. And there's this whole idea that it's called the free radical theory of aging. And it turns out that the guy who came up with this was an MD, but he became interested in all of this when he was a biochemist working for Shell Oil, developing things like pesticide strips, the no-pest strip, very famous kind of pesticide strip of the United States, was developed by this guy named Dr. Denham Harmon back in the 50s. And also in the 50s, he came up with that free radical theory of aging.
Yeah, so he was working at Shell, and one of the things that he was doing at the time was working on chemical additives that would, you know, they found out that sulfur and phosphorus were getting spoiled. These compounds were breaking down in the oil, and they were really degrading over time because of free radical chain reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And they learned back then, and this is pretty amazing for the mid-1950s, that there was something called free radicals, these reactive particles that would take electrons from other atoms, and then those atoms would then say, well, wait a minute, I'm out of whack now. I want to steal some electrons to get back in balance again. So it started this chain reaction where each neighbor was getting their electrons stolen. And in the case of oil, this sulfur and phosphorus would just continue to break down until it was just gross. It was basically worthless. So he's studying this stuff. He reads an article in the Ladies Home Journal called Tomorrow You May Be Younger. And he was like, wait a minute. And he was like, I'm studying these free radicals. It's breaking down oil. We have cells in our body. We know that the atomic bomb and x-rays and all that kind of radiation really increases the free radicals in your body. And you should see somebody after an atomic bomb. And he put two and two together. And he was like, this is it. This is why we're aging. It's all because of these free radicals.
Yeah, that the damage that they do builds up over time. And once you reach a certain point, that's your expiration date. But then along the way, your systems start breaking down before the first catastrophic one fails completely, say like your heart giving out. And that is aging. Everything from, you know, loose, saggy skin to a buildup of plaque in your arteries or a hardening of your arteries, that all of this is an accumulation of the damage done by these free radicals, which are, again, just simply a particle that has an unpaired electron. So it can take someone else's electron or it can donate that electron. But either way, it makes things that are normally stable, like the lining of cells that give cells their structure, unstable, and bad things can happen to that. So Dr. Harmon basically figured out that he had stumbled upon the the reason that we age and die. And when you do something like that, you can take steps to mitigate it. And this kicked off, at the very beginning, the free radical theory of aging. That took a few decades for people to pick up on it, though. It wasn't like an immediate thing that took off, huh?
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to get so rich on this.
Right, eventually. He kept checking his watch.
So maybe we should go do a little biology class primer for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To make it a little more understandable. It's really kind of simple stuff. But if you remember back in biology class, you probably remember learning about the Krebs cycle, capital K-R-E-B-S, and cellular respiration.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with respiration in the cells is the whole point is to turn glucose into energy. And that's pretty easy. We all understand that. We turn that sugar into working energy for the body. It's our metabolism at work. And this Krebs cycle is that metabolic process of doing so, of turning those glucose molecules into something called adenosine triphosphate, ATP, mm-hmm. which is like the fuel for the cells.
Right. The thing is during this Krebs cycle, one of the byproducts, or one of the products of it, I guess, is free radicals, which is, put a pin in that, because that's important. Your body, when it undertakes its most important process, which is cellular respiration, it produces free radicals, right? The problem is, while some of these free radicals are put to use, others just kind of get away. They escape and they start wandering around the body. And when they get away and they're outside of the context that they're, I guess, meant to be used for, that's when they start to do some real damage.
Yeah, that's when they go to other molecules like oxygen mm-hmm. and say, hey, let me in, oxygen. And oxygen is like, sure, you know, I'm down to party. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you have an oxygen molecule that has an extra electron that's unpaired. It's called a superoxide. That sounds like it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Like superoxide sounds like a positive word, but it's not. It's a free radical.
It would get your clothes just so, so white.
You know? Yeah, that's right. and there are other superoxides. Hydrogen peroxide is one. And these are all collectively known as reactive oxygen species mm-hmm. because they're reacting. They're destabilized. And like we said before, they want to be whole again and they want to be stable. So they just start robbing electrons from their neighbor. And again, you have the same chain reaction. And that's basically free radicals at work in the body.
Right. And so like just to kind of put this, give a human face to this whole thing. If you have a reactive oxygen species, they respond indiscriminately to whatever cell they come up against. It doesn't matter to them. There's not one particular type that they like to take electrons from or donate electrons to. They'll destabilize whatever. And so if they come across something like a fatty acid molecule, that helps create structure for a cell, it over time, if it sets off a chain reaction, it can weaken that cell. And when the cell wall is weak, the permeability is affected, which means that all sorts of functions within the cell can be impacted, and the cell can not only no longer function and maybe decay and die, but it might also produce some bad jams before it dies and screw things up. So the proteins that it's meant to do are still kind of trying to carry out their function, but they're not doing it correctly. And so maybe they misfold, and then you've got a whole other set of problems on your hands. It's not good when a free radical, especially a reactive oxygen species, gets loose. The problem is they get loose like constantly. There's a constant barrage of free radicals going through your body. And Chuck, I have to say, during researching this, I now can feel them. I can hear them reacting throughout my body. And yeah. I didn't sleep at all last night. And I probably will never sleep again.
All right. Well, let's. I think we should take a break. I'm going to calm you down a little bit.
Mm-mm.
That was a nice primer. And I need to plug in my laptop. So it's a perfect time to take a pause.
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website, whether it's an online course or custom merch. Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, so we're back, and Chuck, I am ashamed that we did not give a huge shout-out to Dave Ruse for helping us out with this one.
Boy, this is a good one.
Fine example of the Ruse work, because, I mean, he did a great job.
I could understand it.
There was only one part that I needed to go to a kids' science website, and it was for the Krebs cycle, and I didn't learn anything that I didn't already know. From that, Dave did.
Did you remember the Krebs cycle from elementary school and high school?
Yeah, I didn't learn much about it, but I'm always reminded of the Adventures of Pete and Pete, because there was a company that had Kreb in the name, and it always, for some reason, I always associate the Krebs cycle with Pete and Pete.
And I guess it would not be elementary school though.
No.
Probably high school.
No, I don't know. I could see it in late elementary. Yeah, middle. Let's go with middle.
I didn't go to middle school, though.
You skipped right over Boy Genius?
No, we just didn't have it then. It was 1 through 7, 8 through 12 until...
Oh, yeah, you went to that experimental school.
It wasn't experimental. They introduced middle school kind of in the middle of my high school, so...
Yeah, I have to say, though, when you put together all of your anecdotes from school, it sounds a lot like an experimental school that you went to. They just didn't tell you that that's what it was.
I think I'd said this before. The result of that was my class was the youngest class in the school in the 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. There was nobody below us because they kept peeling off grades to go to the middle school right behind us.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Yeah. So they really carved out the middle there, huh? Literally, they carved out middle school.
And finally, by the time I was a junior, there was a sophomore class behind me, and we beat them up so hard.
Yeah, I'll bet, because you were all really just a class of super warrior sleeper assassins.
Yeah, super bullies. We just couldn't wait to beat up kids younger than us. Not true. That's a very serious thing, by the way. Of course,
yeah.
I've never beat anybody up.
You're talking like a guy who grew up in the 80s, not a person of the 2020s, Chuck.
That's right. We're at antioxidants. This is where antioxidants come into play, the wonder thing.
Yeah, because it would make sense that if your body's producing billions and billions of free radicals every second that are getting loose and wreaking havoc, it would have some way to alleviate this. And, as you just said, antioxidants.
Yeah, like the body has these – the body produces these on their own. You don't have to eat – I mean, blueberries are great. You should eat blueberries and kale, but you don't have to eat that stuff to get them. They just supply you with extra. We produce two main ones, uric acid and glutathione. And they don't actually wipe out free radicals, but they neutralize free radicals, because earlier you said you can actually give an electron, and that's what these antioxidants do, is they walk up and they're like, hey, man, mm-hmm. chill out. You don't need to go stealing electrons. Mm-hmm. Have one of mine.
It's like a hippie putting a daisy in the barrel of a rifle held by a National Guard.
Exactly what it is.
You know?
Totally.
So that would be oxidative. The other thing, taking an unpaired electron, that's reductive. So the whole process, that whole concept of a free radical being able to do that is called redox, reductive oxidative. If just, you know, if you want to like score some points at your next biochem party, throw redox out there.
By the way, that ref you made was very ironic now that I think about it.
Which one?
The hippie one, because the hippie would not want to neutralize a free radical. They are free radicals.
Oh, man.
Mind blown?
Just melted my brain. I'm like that. I feel like the guy on the poster that says stoned again. You know what I mean? It just melted under the table.
So like I said, vitamins, good superfoods, all these things can really help out our own antioxidant production in our body, mm-hmm. and help protect, you know, all these proteins and lipids and DNA and RNA, basically putting those daisies in all those rifles as fast as they can.
Right, exactly. So it is a good thing. It is beneficial when you eat those blueberries or ingest that pure cocoa, however you ingest it. Like, it does have that effect because you're introducing these antioxidants to your body and there are health benefits to it. The thing is you can eat blueberries till you yourself are blue, like the, mm-hmm. the poor girl from Willy Wonka.
We just watched that, yeah.
It's which one, the new one or the old one?
No, like a few days ago, we introduced my daughter to the Gene Wilder version.
Yeah.
And I got to say, he's great, but the movie's not very good.
Oh, really? Really?
I don't know, man. I'm going to take heat for this, but it's kind of a garbage movie except for Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw it?
Like within the last year, two years?
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. You know, you might like it. I'm not yucking your yum. I thought it did not age well.
I appreciate you not yucking my yum. Thank you. I have to say, I've actually somewhat come around on the remake. The first time I saw it, I broke the TV. I was so disappointed with it. But it actually has somehow gotten slightly better. I'm not sure if it changed somehow or I did. I'm assuming it changed.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, just don't hold me to it if you don't like it, because I will not be at all surprised.
Okay.
But anyway, you can eat blueberries till you become... Bianca Blueberry, I think was her name.
Violet, I think.
Yeah, one of those two. And you're probably not going to neutralize all of those free radicals in your body. And so when an imbalance occurs between the number of free radicals floating around causing havoc and the number of antioxidants coming in and neutralizing them, you have what's called oxidative stress. And again, this is what Dr. Harmon hypothesized was the basis for aging, that over time, all this oxidative stress is no longer able to be repaired. There's just too much damage to your systems over time, and then slowly but surely, the clock starts to wind down, and you fall over in the middle of the grocery store, ironically, buying blueberries.
Yeah, so Harmon publishes a paper in 1956 called Aging, a theory based on free radical and radiation chemistry. And this is where he kind of lays it all out there, and this idea that he hit upon. And he said, you know what we got to do? We got to ingest more of these antioxidants. He said, I've done some studies on some mice. He said they got a little moderate dose of antioxidants and they live longer. Mm-hmm. So that proves everything.
Right.
And it didn't, you know, it was 1956. It wasn't like, I think you mentioned earlier, didn't make the biggest splash at first.
No.
It actually took, weirdly, it kind of took decades. Or not weirdly, I guess it sort of makes sense. When the electron microscope or the electron scanner was introduced in the mm-hmm. 80s, mm-hmm. they could actually see this stuff happening. And they said, Wait a minute, these free radicals are stealing electrons. They're bad. And these antioxidants are sticking daisies in their rifles. And that's good. And so it got a little more traction. And then in the 90s, they did a very big study that said, hey, if you're not eating a bunch of fruits and vegetables and you're not getting those vitamins C and E, you have a higher risk of getting cancer, memory loss, bone breakage, sagging skin, like just aging in all the wrong ways.
Exactly. And so the implication was, well, then take as much vitamin C and vitamin E as you can possibly pack into your body.
The American way.
And it, as a matter of fact, Dr. Harmon, who seems to have been a pretty good guy from all accounts that I came across, he took a lot of vitamin C and E every day. I mean, hundreds of times the recommended daily allowance, which in and of itself is kind of an issue worth discussing in its own thing. But he also jogged 2 miles a day, which, as we'll see, is very important. And he lived to age 98. And apparently he said at some point, it's important that you accept that you're going to die. We're all going to die. But if you work at it a little bit, you might just make it to 100. And he came awfully close. So a lot of people made a lot of hay about the fact that, you know, he took a lot of vitamin C and E every day, and he still, you know, he almost made it to 100. And he was very much alive. I mean, he died in 2014. So when this really finally hit in the 90s, and everybody was like, this is it. This is absolutely, we have aging figured out, and we now know what to do with it or do about it. He was around to be kind of feted, and he was, I believe, nominated for the Nobel Prize 6 times. He never won, but just being nominated once, I mean, I would love that. I'm not saying that anybody should go out and do that necessarily, but if you did, I would just think it was great. 6 times, I can't even imagine.
Well, I think if they ever create a Nobel Prize for podcasting, we'll get it after Roman Mars. Mm-hmm. And after Karen in Georgia, and after Ira Glass, and after
Terry Gross.
Terry Gross, of course, and wait, don't tell me. All of NPR will get theirs.
Right.
Then Georgia and Karen, then Roman Mars, then Mark Maron, then Jesse Thorne, then us.
I could see stuff they don't want you to know slipping in there ahead of us.
Oh, jeez, like our own colleagues? Move.
Yeah.
I'll cut them.
We got a long line ahead of us, Chuck. Let's just keep doing our thing and see what happens, okay?
That's right. So in the 90s, it was such a big deal. In the early 90s, the National Institute on Aging and the USDA got together and they said, hey, you know what people love is USA Today style food rating scale graphics. So let's put one of those together. We'll call it the Oxygen Radical Absorbance Capacity. No one's going to know what the OREC is.
At least they stopped short of calling it Oracle. I give them credit for that.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't go look for an L and an E.
Yeah.
Like Life Enabler or something.
Exactly, yeah.
And then they, you know, they put this out, and it was basically kind of everything we saw out of marketing. It was the blueberries and the kale and the cocoa and all that stuff. And you know, like we said, marketing, they love that stuff because that means they can sell things to people, packaged foods, as healthy.
Yeah. And like this thing actually just said, like, here's how great cocoa is. But as great as cocoa is, red wine, resveratrol is even better. And so, like, it was very helpful, especially at the time, because people were, you know, into health food for years before that. The 80s was a huge, huge boon for health food. And this seems like the just the predictable legacy of that, you know, like now we've got even greater science and we can tell you what foods are even better at prolonging your life than, you know, just your stupid bran muffin that helps you poop. Go back to the 80s, you caveman lawyer, you know, this is like real science where we're saying this food is a superfood and here's how much of a superfood it is. That's what the OREC did.
Yeah, but at some point, I think someone stopped and said, well, listen, we need to think about this a little bit more. And that's what I love about science. Like, something that seemed really settled wasn't good enough for somebody at some point, you know?
Yeah.
And they said, let's start poking around this again because we really still don't understand it fully. Because if your body is producing free radicals, like, the body doesn't usually just produce something that is so damaging that it's literally killing its cells. So let's kind of poke around and see what the deal is with these free radicals.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the logical answer is, well, God decreed it that way. So this is why we...
That's the logical answer?
Sure. Just run out of something. Like, you just stop at some point. But like you said, some people said, no. There's got to be some other thing going on here. It turns out it's astounding how close humans can come to a mark and then just completely misinterpret it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that seems like something that happened here. Not completely misinterpreted, because there's plenty of stuff that Dr. Harmon supposed, or that was the basis of his supposition, that's still true. But I mean, I guess I haven't quite put my finger on what's riveting about this, but it's still to this day, like, I've known about this for years, and it's still to this day, I just find it so interesting. But the upshot was, is when people started looking into free radicals, so the antioxidants neutralizing free radicals, that's pretty set. Like, there's not a lot of question about that, but just put a pin in that for later.
Right.
But free radicals themselves were portrayed as this villain, like, that's it. That's what's killing you. These are the villains in all of our lives. They're the reason for aging. They're the reason for disease. They're the reasons you will die, are free radicals. And somebody somewhere along the way said, well, let me take another look at them. And they found, oh, wait a minute, these are actually super useful in a lot of different ways. And what the change in paradigm that came from all of this is that free radicals, depending on the context, where they are, the time that they exist, like their lifespan, a bunch of different factors, they're either very destructive or the body can't exist or move forward without them.
Yeah, and a lot of these benefits, I mean, they're all kinds of benefits, but a lot of them are based around the immune system, like hydrogen peroxide. Mm-hmm. It's a free radical, and it... you know, some immune cells need a little help from hydrogen peroxide to help destroy these pathogens coming into our body.
Right.
Some of the – I think hydrogen peroxide, again, it can also signal molecules that draw immune cells to the site of an injury. Mm-hmm. So we're talking, like, if you're a smoker or something, it can actually help attract immune cells to help stave off cell damage because of that smoking. It can be a signaler.
Right. Hydrogen peroxide is also, again, it's a free radical. That's actually why they say they no longer recommend using it to debride wounds or clean a wound or swish it around in your mouth. It's a free radical that will damage whatever cells it comes in contact with. You don't want to use hydrogen peroxide. But the thyroid gland produces it. It's part of producing thyroid hormone. Like, it needs, it's part of that process, just like it's part of the Krebs cycle to produce energy. I saw another one. I didn't see the name in the study, but there was a free radical that was linked to stronger contractions of cells in the cardiac tissue. So it gave you a stronger heartbeat. They figured out that when they removed this, the heart beat still, but it wasn't as forceful or strong a contraction. There's just a bunch of different things that different free radicals do in the body. Like, they clearly have a defined role depending on the context.
Yeah. And the other thing, we'll take a break here in a sec, but the other thing we should mention too is the exercise paradox, which is, you know, we know exercise is really good for you, but we also learned that exercise really increases your free radical levels. So that was just another sort of notch or chink in the armor, I guess, where they were like, well, hey, wait a minute. If you're doing something really good for your body and it's producing these extra free radicals, they got to be good for something.
Right.
So that's why, you know, people looked into it and learned all of these benefits. So right. I think we'll take a break now, and we will come back with some pretty interesting evidence on why they might have had it all backwards.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more.
Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long. But Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. You start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
So, evidence that it was backwards. They started doing some studies. They started engineering organisms with really, really high levels of free radicals or antioxidants and just sort of looking at what happened in terms of lifespan. And, of course, they thought, well, listen, if you got a lot of free radicals, you're gonna die a lot younger.
It's going to be so painful.
Yeah, and it's going to be really bad. And if you have really high antioxidant levels, or we're going to engineer all this, bioengineer it, you're going to live a lot longer. And they found the opposite was true, which was it like shook the medical community to its very core.
Yeah. So there was a type of roundworm that was genetically engineered to produce lots of superoxides, way more than your average roundworm. And you would expect, since superoxides are a reactive oxygen species, one of the most damaging types of free radicals, that those roundworms would just basically be born, you know, shout, why was I born, and then die. And that would basically be the lifespan of it. And that's not what happened at all. As a matter of fact, not only did they live, they didn't die prematurely, they actually lived 32% longer than roundworms that hadn't been tinkered with genetically.
That's crazy.
Longer. More free radicals, longer lifespan in this roundworm. And that definitely got their bow ties spinning in the lab.
Yeah, and they also said, well, what about the other ones that were pumped full of antioxidants? they died faster. And they're like, what is going on? Like, is someone switching out our worms here? And they all looked at the one guy who did refuse to wear a bow tie. Right. And he's like, why is everyone looking at me? I like my neckties. I like my clip-on necktie just fine.
They accentuate my genitalia.
What?
Don't you remember there's a line from State in Maine where this doctor wearing a bow tie.
Oh, my gosh.
Says, never trust a person with a bow tie because a tie is meant to accentuate your genitalia.
I don't remember that line. I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah. It was in there.
My favorite part of that movie is when Alec Baldwin is out on the date with Julia Stiles and drunk and crashes his car. And then he just gets out of the car and kind of wanders off and goes, so that happened.
Right. That movie was great. He's got that great last line, too. He's like, well, it beats working.
Yeah, it beats working.
That was a great movie.
Maybe the best movie about the film industry.
Yeah.
All right, so they said roundworms are one thing. We need to look at mice. So they bioengineered 18 different strains of mice. Again, some with really high levels of antioxidants, others very low levels. They tracked these. They published – this is over like an eight-year period. And one of the scientists that was talking about the results was like – he even cursed.
He did.
He said, I watched those GD lifespan curves. There was not an inch of difference between them. And basically, it was there was just no difference in lifespan. He couldn't find any.
No, there was – like this guy worked for 8 years breeding just different strains, genetic strains of mice, and there was no difference. So like all this data starts coming in. That one was 2001 to 2009, I think. And this data starts to accumulate. They're like, did you hear about the roundworms? Yeah. Did you hear about the 18 strains of mice? And they said, yeah, it's crazy. That guy cursed. And like as the stuff started to compile, people were like, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I guess someone else threw out the naked mole rat, the naked mole rat too, which apparently produces way more, naturally produces way more free radicals than your average rat or mouse. And they typically have a lifespan that's about 8 times longer in the wild than a wild mouse does, which again doesn't make any sense. So all this stuff starts coming in. And then finally people are like, well, wait a minute. There is a lot of people who are taking lots of antioxidant supplements right now, because I don't think we really kind of like highlighted this yet. Like in conjunction with those superfoods and the USDA promoting its auric chart, supplements blew up, especially supplements that were proven antioxidants. People said, if you get a lot of vitamin C from blueberries, what if I just took like fistfuls of like isolated vitamin C, if I just took tons of vitamin C itself and just got rid of the blueberries? And a lot of Americans were doing that, taking lots of supplements that were full of antioxidants. And now all of a sudden people are like, maybe we should look at how humans are doing with all this. And that's when it got kind of scary all of a sudden, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they had this robust population, so they could do these long-term human clinical trials, and all these studies started pouring in that said people who are taking all these multivitamins are not living longer than the placebo group, and sometimes even have a greater chance of dying from things like cancer or heart disease and these things that they're supposed to be protecting against by taking all these multivitamins.
Yeah, the exact opposite of what everybody thought.
Right, but here's the catch they found out is when they started to dig a little deeper, in fact, they did one study in 1996 of 18,000 men and women, they found out that it was way worse in people that already had something going on, like 28% more lung cancer, 17% more deaths in a group that was given beta-carotene and retinol compared with people who didn't get them. Mm-hmm. But when they looked, they found out that, oh, but some of these people – like the highest rates were among people who were smokers or who had been exposed to asbestos. Mm-hmm. And they were like, wait a minute. In fact, they even called off a study in Finland.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people getting in the antioxidant group, a lot of these people were smokers. They were getting diagnosed with lung cancer. So they's like, we got to cancel this thing and really see what's going on here.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, it wasn't just like they were like, okay, we don't know what's going on, so we need to take a breather until we figure it out. I get the impression that they were scared that they were actually giving people lung cancer by giving high doses of beta carotene to these smokers.
Totally.
And that they had to cancel the study as a result. And that happened in more than just one place. Particularly, it seemed like combining high doses of beta carotene, a very potent antioxidant that's found naturally in things like carrots, with people who smoke, an environmental toxin that produces lots and lots of free radicals, especially in the lungs, was actually seeming to cause lung cancer, trigger lung cancer in people. So it was a really scary, eye-opening, mind-boggling moment, or not moment, but it's just course of years over the, I guess, probably the course of a decade when this stuff really started to come back, that really made people rethink whether we should be taking antioxidant supplements or not.
Yeah, and rethink in a big way. And we should point out, not every single study had a result that was this bad, but at the best, they were inconclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these journals had to walk back a lot of stuff. In 2007, the Journal of American Medical Association said, we did these 68 clinical trials, and antioxidant supplements do not reduce the risk of death. I'm sorry, yeah. We've been saying that for a while.
Right.
The American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association now say, don't even take these supplements unless a doctor says, you have a vitamin deficiency and you need to.
And you need this one specific supplement, not a bunch of them.
And that the poor Oracle— that website, that USA Today graphic, just got taken down altogether.
Yeah, and they deleted the data with it too, which I personally take issue with.
Yeah, I agree.
But that just kind of goes to show you, and that's 2011 that happened, but that goes to show you just how sweeping the backlash was.
Hang on to the data though, park it on a MySpace page or something.
Sure. So, yeah. Justin Timberlake was a big investor in the second round of MySpace. I don't think it went anywhere, though.
Was there a second round?
They tried to make a second round, but it didn't really
recently?
Take off. I want to say within the last 7-8 years.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like he sunk $100 million or crazy amount into that to try
JT,
to kickstart it again, and it just did not happen. The people had spoken, you know what I mean? But there was a huge, huge backlash to antioxidants. But here's the thing, and this is really important, and I will go over it again in a second, but I just really want to point this out. What they focused on, what seemed to be the problem, was not antioxidants themselves, was not eating a diet rich in antioxidant foods, a very colorful diet filled with all the different kinds of nutrients that you get from that stuff. That doesn't seem to be the issue, which is why I don't understand why the USDA took down that site. What seemed to be the issue was taking enormous amounts on a daily basis of antioxidant supplements. Isolated derived supplements that were high doses of antioxidants. But even still, we haven't quite reached the point where we understand why that might be the case. And finally, we kind of get to that because it's totally counterintuitive. Why would taking more antioxidants to balance out oxidative stress in your body actually make you likelier to die from the very stuff that you're taking supplements to prevent? Why, Chuck? Why?
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like, we mentioned earlier that free radicals can really help out the immune system in a lot of ways. And that's kind of what they landed on, is that free radicals may not be the cause of this oxidative damage, but might be the result of it. So if you're a smoker or if you get that asbestos exposure, your body is going to produce these free radicals to signal, we mentioned earlier, hey, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come down here and start, get to work, bring your little repair kit down here.
Right.
And if you're taking all these massive levels of antioxidants, it's going to mute or muffle the work of those free radicals. And that's why it explains the fact that people that had issues, like if you were a smoker already or that asbestos exposure, and you were taking all these things, it was kind of suppressing your immune response.
Right.
they think.
It's almost like you were taking such a high dose of these antioxidants that they came in and were telling your body, we got this, even though it didn't really have it, which allowed like a tumor to, say, run rampant, or it allowed for these processes of like your arteries clogging or hardening to take place because your body thought it was covered. That's the current theory. And again, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. If we learned any lesson from the initial round of this, it's that we need to just kind of take it all as it comes and try to figure it out. But that seems to be the current understanding, is that it dampens the signals that free radicals send to the immune system, which actually allows disease to take place.
It makes sense. You know, it's like, it's almost like, you know, the immune system needs to be a little out of whack to know it needs to wake up and get to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if it's not getting out of whack because antioxidants are just keeping those electrons, you know, all locked in place, or, you know, at least an even trade going on.
Right.
Then your immune system isn't going to know what to do. It explains the roundworms. It explains the exercise paradox. It all kind of dovetailed very nicely. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I mean, it also makes sense. So, like, when you use radiation therapy, you're actually creating purposely free radicals that are targeting a tumor, so that those free radicals go in and break up the tumor cell and destroy the cells that make up the tumor, I should say. And that actually kind of jibes with something, a concept called hormesis, which I heard about from a guy that Yumi and I have been watching videos from named Dr. Mark Hyman. And he's like a functional medicine doctor, which is basically like just kind of views the whole body together and sees food as medicine kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Emily's way into that.
Yeah. She would love that guy, I'll bet. He's very down to earth and pretty interesting. But there's this concept called hormesis that he talks about. It's not his concept, but he kind of punches it up a lot. But he hormesis is the idea that you stress your body slightly so that when it repairs itself, it actually makes itself slightly stronger, which that seems to be the basis of free radicals and exercise, that whole exercise paradox, that when you exercise, you're actually stressing your body so that when your body goes in to repair itself, you are better off than you were before. Like you have a higher VO2 max or VO max. Your muscles are stronger because they've been repaired stronger than they were when you tore them through exercise.
That's why you have a down day between, if you're like a big weightlifter.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when I was a kid, like I never lifted weights, but dudes would try to get me to.
Mm-hmm.
And they would talk about weightlifting a lot. And they would be like, yeah, man, you got to have that down day.
Right.
You got to let those muscles repair, you know.
Exactly. That's why you also want to eat protein after you exercise, so that your body has a supply of stuff to rebuild those muscles with and make them stronger. But there's this whole idea that free radicals play roles in all of these different things, from hormesis, like exercise, to signaling, to actually being part of the immune response that messes up cells like that we don't want, like tumor cells. And so if we suppress them with high doses of antioxidant supplements, it interferes with our body's natural ability to do that. Rather than helping the body, we actually seem to have been hindering it with antioxidant supplements.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. I think, like, even though the doctor wasn't right on the money, I think in the end it did a lot of good, because I think where we landed and where we are now is you shouldn't necessarily believe anyone when they say they figured out the one thing about aging and dying, and that it is a lot of different things going on in your body over a long period of time. And you can't say, this is it. I figured out the one single thing that's going to keep you young for more years and let you live longer.
Yeah,
there's no fountain of youth.
No, that's the problem. Yet. But but it does seem like oxidative stress does play a role in it, but it's certainly not the key. It's way more complicated than that. It was wishful thinking to think otherwise. But it seems like where medicine has landed now is, you know, it still makes sense to reduce your exposure to things that cause oxidative stress, like cigarette smoke or asbestos or, you know, all sorts of environmental toxins. And then to supplement your body's ability to take on free radicals by eating a very healthy, plant-based, although not entirely plant, diet, that's full of antioxidants, because that seems to be true. But it seems like extracting those antioxidants takes them out of context, that when you eat them with food, there's a bunch of other nutrients they interact with that seems to actually, that's where the health benefits come from, is from food. We haven't figured out how to replicate that, and just extracting the antioxidants didn't do it. So eat a lot of colorful plants, and you will probably be a little healthier than you would have otherwise when you age.
Yeah, and if you really want bang for your buck, eat them raw.
Yeah, there you go.
May not be as fun.
It depends on the plant.
Like the, I like to roast that cauliflower and broccoli.
Yeah.
Tastes so good, but if you can munch on some raw veggies, that's really, really, really good for your body.
But I think there are some processes like blanching that just lightly kind of cook something that unlock a lot of those nutrients that otherwise would just pass right through your pooper.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. Yeah, I don't think raw is entirely the way. I'm sorry, raw people, but anyway, you got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Well, since Chuck said that, it's time, everybody, for listener mail.
This is from the housing discrimination episode. That was a good one, if mm-hmm. I may say so.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, Chuck was talking about locking in property tax, or saying you don't have to pay property tax anymore. And while that's a good idea, this is basically what California did when it enacted Prop 13 in 1978. And while the originally stated goal of stopping displacement of older homeowners was a good one, its unintended negative consequences are huge. Here in California, your property taxes are essentially frozen when you buy a property. But the law also allows you to pass your tax basis to your children or grandchildren. And the result is massive inequity. A very common situation here in San Francisco is two households next door to each other, similar homes, similar age, and similar financial means, one of whom pays 10 times what the other does in property taxes while consuming the city services those taxes pay for equally. It's a regressive tax that benefits the half of the people who are lucky enough to inherit property while further burdening those trying to buy in. Like rent control, it's a good idea but flawed in practice, because the people who have it are not necessarily the people who need it. P.S. You should mention The Color of Law by Richard Rothstein, probably one of the best books ever written on housing discrimination. And, I don't have that person's name. I feel bad now.
Probably Richard Rothstein.
No.
Writing anonymously.
I guess it's just anonymous. Sorry about that.
That was a good one. I'm interested, because I guarantee that's the kind of thing where somebody else will write it and be like, no, that last writer had it wrong. Here's the real deal on that. Who knows? I'm interested to see. I'd not heard of that before.
Yeah, I mean, Emily and I sort of lightly debated that, the email. Actually, I've got it here. It's from Eric.
Oh, thanks,
from,
Eric.
From Cal Berkeley. So Eric knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we kind of debated that a little bit. I guess... I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it, so I'm not going to run my mouth.
Very wise, Chuck. Very wise. Well, thanks again, Eric. That was a very interesting email. And if you want to be like Eric and get in touch with us about something that we possibly had overlooked, we want to hear about it. You can send it to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF
20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.